The following is a message from the pulpit of Parkside Baptist Church in Mesquite, Texas, led by Pastor Mike Wells.
You know, it's a very neat thing. Thank you, Brother Craig. It's a very neat thing to read your Bible. It becomes even a more neat thing to be able to take your Bible, slow down a little bit, and study your Bible. Not just to read it through, and I'm all for it. I'm all for people. We have people in our church that read their Bible through once a year, and I am for it. I'm not saying don't. I think it's a great thing. We have people in our church that read their Bible through two and three. We have several men in our church that read it through four times a year, and I think that's fantastic. I think that's extraordinarily good. But sometimes I think also it's good to just kind of slow down just a little bit, pick up the scriptures, be able to read it through and digest it, and be able to think on these matters. I know recently I preached about where young Elisha, cried out, and I asked Elijah, the older one, for a double portion of his spirit. And in that particular scripture right there, I was sharing with one of the preachers. I said, you know, I've read that through so many times. Just in that one chapter alone, I have nine different sermons depicting different things that God shows just in that one chapter alone. And you would be amazed if you would take time just to study the Bible, how God has so much, not so little, but so much that is in the Bible that you never be able to preach or to teach or even consume all of the riches of God's word. And so we'll see this morning. Here we'll see if you follow along. The Bible talks in 1 Samuel chapter 17 and verse 23 that as he talked with them told there. Now watch it. Behold there, it says that up the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, out of the armies of the Philistines, and spake according to the same words, and David heard them. So here is Goliath. Now understand, Goliath, the giant of Gath, a Philistine, is coming up, and he is not saying this one time. That's not what he's doing. The Bible says that he was coming up, and again. So he had come there several times, and he'd said the same thing over and over and over again. The Bible says in 1 Samuel chapter 17 and verse 24, the Bible says, and all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and were sore afraid. Now, probably you can see that every time he would come up, there would be fear that would fill the heart. Every time he would come up, they would be sore afraid. Every time he would come up, all of a sudden their minds would begin to quake and their hearts would begin to become faint. The Bible says in verse 25 that the men of Israel said, have ye seen this man that has come up? And by the way, you couldn't miss him. You just couldn't miss him. Head and shoulders, much above the average fray of a man, much above the average stature of a man, certainly a giant in word and in deed. Surely to defy Israel, he is come up. The Bible says, and it shall be that this man that killeth him, now watch this, this is going to be the king's reward. What's going to happen? The king is going to enrich him. The king is going to give him great riches. The king is going to give him his daughter. The king is going to make his father's house free in Israel. Then David, now here's ruddy David, young man, comes up, and this young man begins to see what is taking place. He saw the giant come out. He heard the words of the giant that the giant spoke. He saw how these men all of a sudden became faint in heart. He saw these men flee as they drew back. And then he begins to inquire about this one that's the giant. And these men say, well, we know this. We know that whoever slays the giant, we know that the king is going to make him a rich man. The king is going to make him the richest, if you would please, among the riches that's in the kingdom. Going to go ahead and give him his daughter. Is going to go ahead and bless his father, so his father is free in Israel. And so all these things are told unto David. And David spake to the men that stood by in verse 26. 6, saying, what shall be done to the man that killeth this Philistine and take away the reproach of Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? Other words, what is this guy doing? I mean, he's bringing fear. You guys are running. And yet he's defying the armies of the living God. Who is he? I mean, what is this guy all about? The Bible says in verse 27, the people answered him after the same manner. So shall it be done to the man. So he's saying to the man that kills this giant, here's what the king is going to do. Now, here is Eliab, and here's what you see about Eliab. You see that he's the eldest brother in verse 28, and he speaks unto the men, and he's angry because he sees what David is doing. He's angry because David, now this young, spry little kid, comes up, if you will, this young man, and he says, now, wait a minute, what is this all about? And he begins to inquire about the giant. And when he's inquiring about the giant to the host of the Israelites, his brother sees that. It makes him angry that he would even inquire, as you see that Eliab's anger is kindled against David. And he says this, why camest thou up thither? Watch what he says here. Why camest thou up hither? The Bible says, that's left a few sheep that's there in the wilderness. And I know that thy pride and thy naughtiness of thy heart, and thou art come up that thou mightest see the battle. Well, first off, there is no battle. There's no battle that's taking place. The men are seeing the giant. They're stepping back from the giant. And then David says these words, and David said, what have I now done? Or in other words, big brother, why are you picking on me again? What have I now done? What have I done? You know, I'm just asking a question, what have I done? And then here we'll see that David says this to his older brother. He says, is there not a cause? Now he knows his older brother's not going to listen to him. I wouldn't get you to raise your hand, but how many of you have an older brother that never listens to you? All right, and so he says this, is there not a cause? And then the Bible says, and he turned from him toward another and spake after the same manner, and the people answered him again after the former matter. So two times David says, one to his older brother, he says, is there not a cause? He realizes his older brother's not going to listen. His older brother's not going to give him the time of day. His older brother's not going to believe that maybe God could even use him to fulfill or to complete the cause that God has for not just the nation of Israel, but for him as an individual. And so he realizes that. And so it's almost like he turns to his older brother. He's already been chewed out by his older brother. His brother has already risen against him. His brother has already rebuked him. And so he just looks at his brother, and maybe in frustration, maybe in explanation, maybe in just making sure that his brother is prompted to be able to question himself, I don't know what the motive is, but he says to his older brother, is there not a cause? And then immediately he turns and he goes to another and he says, is there not a cause? So twice, thank you. You see that David is reiterating it, is there not a cause? So let me speak to you this morning on complete your cause. You know, everybody in here that knows what it is to walk with God, everybody in here that knows what it is to please God, everybody in here that knows what it is to be able to walk in the presence of God, everybody in here that knows what it is to be able to step out and understand what God would have them to do. Here's the question. You ought to complete the cause. Are you completing the cause? Are you doing what God would have you to do? Statement number one, here's what we see. Everyone has a cause. Everyone has a cause. 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 23, the Bible says, and as he talked with them, behold, it says, there came up a champion. It says, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, out of the armies of the Philistine, and spake according to the same words, and David heard them. And so even the Philistine, the giant, had a cause. Everyone has a cause. By the way, those men that were standing on the banks there, they had a cause. They had a cause to defend their country, or yes, their people. They had a cause. Every single person has a cause. By the way, some causes are bigger than other causes. Some causes, if you would please, are smaller than normal causes. But everybody has a cause. It might be that the cause that you have is to be a better wife or a better husband or a better child in the household. It might be that you have a cause, and that cause is to be a Christian gentleman that has a business, and you're trying to be able to show those that are your employees and those that are co-workers what it is to be a true blue Christian. It might be that you have the cause of trying to reach your neighborhood with the gospel. It might be that you have a cause to try to be able to encourage the brethren. It might be that you have a cause to be able to be faithful to your local church and to support the things of God through the local church. But everybody, everyone has a cause. Statement number two, don't let the giants distract you from your cause. Here these men were distracted by the giant. Notice, if you will, please, 1 Samuel chapter 17 and verse 24, the Bible says, "And all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and were sore afraid." Now, by the way, these men believed what was right. These men wanted to do what was right. I don't think these men were ashamed of what was right. But sometimes, even though you know what is right, you want to do what is right, you don't want to be ashamed of what is right. When you get in a crowd that outnumbers you, sometimes you have a tendency to be distracted from that giant, if you will, and it causes you not to fulfill your cause. Sometimes the fear may come, and it might be a fear that comes. It might be the fear of standing up and voicing something. It might be a fear of giving a gospel witness. It might be a fear of giving out a tract. It might be a fear, if you will, of being able to stand for God in your educational institution of learning. It might be a fear, if you will, of driving in Dallas traffic. It might be a fear of maybe some other things that comes in your life. And you'll see here that they saw the giant, and what fills their heart then is the fear. They see the giant, they look at the giant, they allow the giant to overcome their faith. They allow the giant to overcome their vision of doing something for God. They allow the giant in their life to cause them to be distracted so that they do not fulfill the will of God. Then we see this, that if you stare at the giant long enough, you'll forget your cause. So not only does everybody have a cause, not only do we let giants sometimes distract us from her cause, but here's what we find out. If you stare at a giant long enough, then sometimes the giant will cause you to forget your cause. Over in 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 25, the Bible says, "And the men of Israel said, we have seen this man that is come up." In other words, they have seen him. And every time that this man from Gath, Goliath the giant, had come up, here's what you see. You see that they become so distracted by the giant that they forget the cause that they were there for. And sometimes if we're not careful, we get distracted by that which is right before us, and we stare at that so much. That whether it's big or whether it's small, we stare at it so much that it overtakes us. And before you know it, fear fills the heart. And now the fear is holding us in captivity, whereby we never fulfill the will of God that God would have for us. We never complete what God has for us. And here's what we see. We see that now they see the giant. Now as they see the giant and they're looking at the giant a long time, they actually forget that God could use one of them. They actually forget that God's power could rest on one of them. They actually forget that if somebody would step out, that would rise up and that would stand for that which is right and stand for that which is the cause. They actually forget that the same God that was going to use David is the same God that could use them, but they forgot that it is the same God. And sometimes we wait for somebody else to rise up and do it when we're not supposed to wait for somebody else to rise up and do it. We're supposed to have the same faith in putting it in God as others would have in putting in God. And here's what you see about David. David stood up, and by the way, not a trained soldier, not somebody that knew how to to hurl the sword, not somebody that knew how to throw the spear, not somebody that even knew how to be able to champion the cause of holding the shield, not somebody that has fought in battle after battle after battle. But here's a young man, I believe innocent in his faith, a young man that said, I can be used of God. With God, all things are possible. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. I can step out, and in God's power, I am able to do this. Now, can I say this? Can I say that if you stare at the giant long enough, you'll forget what your cause is? Oh, there's been many times we've had to take one of our boys, careless though they be. When they were younger, we had to take them to the hospital. Many times they would fall down and they would have to have stitches. I remember one time in going to the hospital, I was in the hospital room, and they wrapped our son up with a cloth to keep his hands down beside him. And the doctor said, talking to my wife, you can leave the room. And so she gladly left the room. And the doctor said, if you really want to help Dad, talk to your son and hold his head still. Now, can I tell you, in holding his head still, and watching that needle come down as they put stitches in, as a dad that loves your son, that's hard. That's hard. And the things that are hardest in your life is the things that distract you from God. The things that you look at, and because you know why? They're instantaneous. They're immediate. They grab your attention. They almost put you in a situation where you feel like, if I don't make this decision now, it may get worse. And so you feel it forced upon you, and you almost feel, if you will, please, crippled by the fact that you've got this enormous thing that you're facing in your life, and you feel like that your back is against the wall, whereby if you don't make a decision right now, it's not going to work out. Now, aren't you glad this morning that God does not work in your limited amount of time? Aren't you glad that you have a God that works with eternity? There was a great man of God, and he prayed earnestly. He said, dear God, please save this friend. Dear God, please save this friend. One friend got saved at his funeral. The other friend did not get saved till 7 years later. He was still able to see it, I believe, as he looked over the portals of glory. See, not everything happens when you want it to happen. Have you ever prayed for somebody to get right and they didn't get right? Have you ever prayed for somebody to come to the Lord and they've never come to the Lord yet? I remember praying for Mama to get saved, and oh my, it took years on years on years for her to get saved. I got saved in 79. She received Christ in 1982, and it took years for her to get saved. And after Mama got saved and received Christ as Savior, she began to be a witness to my father. And as she was a witness to my dad, and I was a witness to my dad began to open up. But it took years. And as my dad began to open up and my dad began to ask questions because of my mom living her testimony, living her faith in front of my dad, and being ridden with cancer, knew that she was dying, but her main concern was, honey, I don't want you to die and burn in hell. And because that was in the forefront of her mind, and she witnessed, and it's so funny because when I was in Bible college and I used to send tracts home, they'd tear them up, they'd send them back. But after Mama got saved, she was contacting me, and she's saying, can you send more of those pieces of paper? Can you send more of those? And she picked up where I left off, and she was putting tracks different places. I mean, it used to be when I first got saved, I wanted my parents saved. And you have to understand, I was just now saved. I didn't have a lot of wisdom. I definitely did not have any people skills, and I just wanted them saved. That's all I cared about. That's all I cared about. So I'd take those tracts, and I would find the ones that asked the hard questions. I mean, you know, the ones that pretty much would make you think just by staring at the outside of the tract, such as, people are going to hell, are you, with a finger pointing. You know, and stuff like it, because I thought if I could shock them a little bit, maybe they would read the track. But you know, when you open up the refrigerator, the milkman, we used to have a milkman, of course, I'm a little bit older than some, it's in here, but we used to have a milkman that would come to our front door. He would come 3 days a week, And we had a milk jar that was a glass jar that we would set out on the front porch, and the milkman would take the empty jar, and he would put a fresh jar there with milk in it, and he would come three times a week. And so those glass milk type of bottles that were square would sit inside of the refrigerator, and inside the refrigerator, you could take a gospel track, and you could put it to the face of that, and it was perfectly adhesive, whereby it would hold that track. So can you imagine waking up early in the morning, opening the refrigerator door, there's a finger pointing at you with these words, "Are you going to go to hell today?" That wasn't exactly the brightest way to do it. My dad smoked a pipe, and he had a smoker's stand. He had a chair. It was a smoking chair. And then he had a smoker stand beside it, and he pulled the drawer out, and there's where he kept his pipe, and there's where he kept his tobacco. Man, I remember putting them on the outside of his tobacco. I knew they were going to go to bed at night, so I put tracks in their pillars, They slept on pillars. But put tracks on inside their pillows, and that way when they would lay down at night, you know, they would hear the crunch, you know, and they'd have to search and pull it out. Yeah, I didn't realize that I was going about it all wrong. And honestly, I wanted them to be saved. I wasn't trying to be untactful. I wasn't really trying to be somebody that would cause them to get irritated. But I remember going to a ranch to hear some preaching on a Saturday night, and I came back home, and all my clothes had been thrown on the patio. Mom had taken suitcases, and she put my clothes in the suitcases and threw them on the patio. I go knocking on the door, and Dad answers the door, and he says, "What do you want?" I said, "Well, I'd like to come in." He said, "You're not welcome here no more." I said, well, what did I do?" He said, "Everything." He said, "You got your religion. You're trying to push it down our throat. First off, we're not interested in your religion. Second off, we're not interested in you staying here if you're going to continue to push that religion down my throat." Well, I didn't know that was coming. I had no clue that was coming. And I remember apologizing to my dad and apologizing to my mom and earnestly desiring to be able to stay in the house. And boy, I backed off. And then I talked to my pastor and I said, "Preacher, I was just trying to do what was right. I just wanted them to be saved." He said, "If you would have came to me, maybe I could have helped you, but that's just not the way to do it." I said, "Well, tell me what to do." He said, "Start washing the dishes." I thought, "Well, that's going to really bring them to Christ." He says, start to cleaning out their vehicles. I thought, this is great, you know. I mean, I'm wanting them to be saved, and you're telling me to take care of their vehicles. You know, but I didn't know. He said, you know, start to asking them how they're doing. Start giving them notes of, "I appreciate you and I love you." Start pouring it on. Start telling them good things that you learn at church, things that are changing your character for good. And I said, "Yes, sir." I said, "You know more than I do, that's for sure. What I was doing wasn't working. What you're doing might work." He said, "It will work." And you know, for years, I did as much as I could to love them. Even when I went off for Bible college, and then when Shelton Smith's the one that led my mom to Christ, and he knew the background of everything, and I think that's why he didn't witness to her the very first time he saw her. But he built a relationship, and he kept going by the house every so often and building a relationship, and building a relationship, and building a relationship, and building a relationship. And then about a year and a half to 2 years after building a relationship, he had the privilege to sit down on the patio, the same place where my clothes were thrown out, and he took a Bible and he showed my dear mother how to be saved, and she bowed her heart and she received Christ as Savior. Now, I'm saying this. I'm saying that you can stare at a giant so long that if you're not careful, you can forget the cause. You think that it has to be done this way. It's got to be done this way. And there's the urgency. And if you don't see it my way, then it's tough on you. But wait a minute. Sometimes God will use circumstances in your life to bring you full circle so that you can understand His goodness, so that you can understand His fairness, so that you can understand His justice, so that you can understand how God is working in somebody's life. And it just might take a while. I'm saying this. I'm saying that everyone has a cause. Don't let your giants distract you from your cause. Don't stare at your cause so long don't stare at your giant so long that you forget your cause. Statement number next, your cause should always be bigger than your giants. Your cause. Now, almost every parent in this room, if you have a teenager at one time or another, you're going to have distress. If you have a teenager in your house at one time or another, there's going to be a challenge, and it might be big. Now, I'm saying, understand, your cause should always be bigger than your giants. Don't decide, well, teenager's right, and I must be wrong. No, let God be right. Amen. And always guide your family to follow God. 1 Samuel chapter 17 and verse 26, the Bible says, and David spake unto the men that stood by, saying, what shall be done? It says, to this man that killeth this Philistine and taketh away the reproach of Israel. For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? Who is he? All right. And so he understood that the cause was bigger than the giant. Let me say this as I hasten to a close. Statement number next. When you tell others about championing your cause, some will even try to discourage you. When you say, I really believe God's going to answer this prayer, somebody's going to come along and say, really? You really believe that? I mean, come on now. How long have you been praying that prayer? God's not answered it yet. Why don't you just go ahead and give up? Just believe that God's not going to answer it. Sometimes it is good, intentional people that discourage well-meaning Christians. Here's what we see in our Bible. 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 28, the Bible says in Eliab, the Bible says his eldest brother. Now, here's a brother. Here's somebody older. Here's somebody we would think more mature. Here's somebody that we would think knows more. The Bible says his eldest brother heard when he spake unto the men. And Eliab, the Bible says, his anger was kindled against David. And he said, why camest thou down hither? So what are you doing here? I mean, this is for like the men, you know. This is a men's gathering. What are you doing here? You're the youngest of us. You don't know nothing. What are you doing here? The Bible says, and with whom thou hast left those few sheep in the wilderness. He says, I know thy pride, the naughtiness of thine heart. Well, how can you know somebody's pride? How can you know somebody's naughtiness of their heart? The Bible says, thou art come down that thou mightest see the battle. All you want to do is just come where the action is. That's all you want to do. Why are you showing up? You can't do nothing. You're not a soldier. God cannot use you. This giant is coming against us. He's defying the armies of the living God. And all you want to do is just come and see the action. Now, wait a minute. Watch this. Here's what we understand. That when others tell you about championing your cause, sometimes they'll try to discourage you. Sometimes they'll try to get you down. Sometimes, it's something how if you're not careful, what people say about you will discourage you. I've had people do it to me. Hello? I've had people say, well, you know, that church over at Parkside, it'll never grow. Same people come back and say, oh, now that church over at Parkside, they're saying, Pastor Wells, he's building a kingdom over there. You know what I'm saying? And so here's the thing. You cannot let people discourage you. I've got to keep my eyes on God. I've got to, just like you have to, you and I together, yet individually, have to decide that we're going to focus on God. Don't let people, why you keep going back to that church? You're not changing. Why that church must not be doing too much for you. After all, the other day, you said another curse word. Can I help you out a little bit? Sometimes it takes time to change. Sometimes you've got to be under preaching for a durational amount of time. And let me help you a little bit. Don't be so quick to judge yourself. Well, I guess I'm a failure and I never can make it. Oh, no, 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 no. All things are possible to him that believeth. You don't have to be some, you don't understand. I came from a household completely non-Christian. Hear what I'm saying. I came from a household where my older brother dealt drugs. Do you understand what I'm saying? I came from a household where you'd hear curse words every other word. Do you understand what I'm saying? But the same God that is the God of the kid that grew up in Sunday school is the same God of the young man that never knew a Sunday school. He's rich unto all that call upon him. And you don't have to take, and I say this morning, you ought never to take your background and use it as an excuse as to why you cannot serve God, why you cannot go forward, why you cannot let God use you. Look, put all that stuff away. Let God be true and every man a liar, and you step up and simply do what God wants you to do. Now, I get the privilege to preach at national conferences, but I didn't come up as a Sunday school boy. But I've led from the day I got saved, God have his way, God have his way. And that's why I beg you this morning, if you would just let God have his way, you would be shocked at how God could use you. You'd be shocked at how God could use you at the workplace. You'd be shocked. Look, you can't use the excuse. Well, you don't understand. I grew up in a home where nothing was right. Hey, you don't understand. I came up in a home that way too, but God was bigger than the giant, and God has always been bigger than the giant. And if you decide to step out and obey God, God can prove himself again. Don't give me that lame brain excuse. I went to Bible college. Before I went to Bible college, I was a public school kid. And I learned how to run fast. So I was in track and field. I didn't have such good grades. So my track coach would go down and get them to change the grades so that I could run in the competition. That hurt me when I went to Bible college, because I didn't know how to study. The first year was terrible. The second year, better. And every year after, but it was hard knocks for a while. So please, please, I beg you, don't let somebody incriminate you because of your background. Don't let somebody rise up and try and make you feel that you can't do something for God. I've got the doctorate degrees. Hey, look, I've got the master's degree. I've got the BS. I've got all the educational degrees that another man would wish for, but it was hard knocks. But with God, all things. I said, with God, all things are possible. Now, I'm saying this, and I'm done. Here's what we see. We see that everyone has a cause. Don't let the giants distract you from the cause. Don't stare at the giants long enough that it causes you to get away from the cause. Your cause should always be bigger than your giants. When you tell others about championing your cause, some people will try to discourage you. Here it is, and I'm done. Last thought. Turn your discouragement, turn, if you would please, from your discouragement and champion your cause. You know what I learned years ago? Every morning is a fresh morning. Every morning is a new day. Every morning. You say, well, did you have a bad day? It don't matter. Tomorrow's a good day. Lunchtime's coming. Afternoon's coming. Evening preaching's coming. Now watch this. 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 24. The Bible says, and David said, what have I now done? Is there not a cause? Verse 30, the Bible says, and he turned, it says, from him, that's his brother, he turns from his brother toward another. In other words, I'm telling my brothers, they're not a cause, and he don't agree with it. He don't have the faith, so I'll just go to somebody that does believe it. And he says, and he turned, it says, from him toward another, and spake, it says, after the same manner. And the people answered him again after the former matter. And they were just telling him about what the king would do. Now, I'm saying this. I'm saying there is a way for you to be able to complete your cause. And it ought to be something inside of you that says, I'm going to complete it. I'm going to walk therein, and I'll fulfill the will of God all the days of my life. Everybody for me, nobody for me. Everybody standing behind and applauding. Nobody standing behind and applauding. Just simply to step out and simply to obey God. Father, we thank you for today.
Thank you for joining us today. For more audio or video content, you can visit our website at parksidebaptist.org.